So, as we've already heard in our service, it's coming home! Yay! Well, they think it's coming home. Not so sure about the rest of you. If you think France will win the World Cup, give me a cheer. One person in the front row, yep, I'm resigned to it. Okay, if you think Belgium are going to win the World Cup, let me hear a cheer. Just some booing. If you think Croatia are going to win the World Cup, there is one person who thinks Croatia are going to win the World Cup who's got them in a sweepstake. And if you think England are going to win the World Cup, very good. Now, according to some eagle-eyed fans, the stars are aligning, and there are some spooky similarities between 1966 and 2018, which suggest that you might be right and that football could be coming home. In both 1966 and 2018, Real Madrid won the European Cup. In 1966 and 2018, Man City won the league title. In 1966 and 2018, Burnley, yes, Burnley, qualified for Europe. One Burnley fan in. In 1966 and 2018, Chelsea finished fifth in the league. And in 1966, England won the World Cup, which must mean that in 2018... Omens or not, on the basis of this morning's service, you seem to think that we will win the World Cup. Although I've definitely noticed more optimism amongst the under-18s who haven't lived through 52 years of hurt. As my son kept saying yesterday, why are you so pessimistic? What's the matter with you? Because I've been here before. Well, a moment ago we heard that reading from Philippians, and that reading is an interesting reading because when you look at it, it provokes a number of questions. Questions like this: what's your goal in life? What's your proudest achievement? And my favourite question that I think it provokes is winning what matters most? Now, the reading is an excerpt from a letter written to one of the first Christian churches, and it was written by somebody called Paul, sometimes called St. Paul, who was a key figure in the early church. And if I had to describe St. Paul, I would describe him as a man who was winning at life. He had everything going for him. He was born into a well-connected family. He had the right sort of upbringing. He was educated at the most elite establishments. He did everything that was expected of him, of a man from his culture, and he was highly regarded and admired by his peers. Now, St. Paul lived about 2,000 years ago, so it is hard to imagine what he was like. So let me offer you a more contemporary example. I have a friend called Dan. I suspect many of you have met people like Dan. Or perhaps you yourself are a little like Dan. When you visit Dan's home, it tells you an awful lot about him. One of the walls of his hall is covered in photographs. There are school photographs with Dan standing among his classmates at one of the country's top educational institutions. There are photos of Dan and his wife stood outside of their respective Cambridge colleges. There are photos of Dan and his friends in a boat after yet another rowing victory. Now, when Dan left university, he went to work in the city as a stockbroker, and he did well. Actually, he did really well. At the height of his success, he was the top-rated stockbroker in the country in his field. Not that I know what any of that means. He just told me, and I believed him. But I saw the evidence, because he made a lot of money, and he bought a beautiful house with an enormous garden, and he kept a smart sports car, a Porsche, parked on his drive. All of this before the age of 30. Spit. And like St. Paul, Dan was someone that if you looked at him, you'd say, that guy is winning at life. He is winning at life. He has got everything that most people want. He'd achieved many of his goals at a young age. But then when he was 28, Dan did something rather unexpected. He gave up his job. He gave up the salary that went with it. He gave up the car that was on the drive. He gave up the benefits and the bonuses. He gave up the status that went with being a city broker in order to go and work part-time for a church on a fraction of the pay that he used to earn. Why would someone do that? Why would someone throw away everything that they had worked so hard for? His poor parents, what on earth must they have been thinking? It's like scoring an own goal in your own life. Well, St. Paul gives us an answer from our Bible reading. Here's what he says about his experience of winning at life. He says, "At one time, all these things were important to me, but now I think those things are all worth nothing compared with the greatness of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord." What does he mean? Well, some of the Christians that Paul was writing to had become convinced that to be a Christian and to be part of God's family, that you had to come from the right human family, that you had to have had the right upbringing and education, that you had to be part of an elite in-group. So when Paul writes to them, he's writing them to say, actually, to be a Christian, you don't have to be part of an in-group. You don't have to have any special credentials or an impressive CV. To be a Christian, you don't have to be a winner. Paul tells them that to be in God's family, you just have to believe in Jesus and believe in his credentials and believe in the things that he has achieved through his death and resurrection. And it's because Paul is so strongly convinced that Christianity is all about what Jesus has done and not about what we have done that he can describe his own background and his own achievements as rubbish. Although he doesn't use the word rubbish, he uses something a bit ruder that's related to what comes out of the bottom of a cow. But I'm not going to spell it out for you any further. Paul doesn't care whether he wins or loses in life because those things aren't actually important to God. Paul doesn't need to show God all the photos going up his wall to impress God. And actually, we don't need to do that either. We don't need to show God our long list of achievements to impress him because God doesn't ask us to do anything at all to be in his family because Jesus has done all of it. For Paul, knowing Jesus challenged his priorities and then it changed his priorities. And the same was true for my friend Dan. He didn't have to give up his job. Of course he didn't have to. God doesn't ask us to give up our jobs. But actually he chose to because his priorities were challenged and then they were changed. And he was no longer bothered about having a sports car on his drive. So I wonder what matters to you in life. What's the stuff that is really important underneath? And is winning what matters most? Amen.